Now in our study of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, today we come to chapter 15. Now this looks a rather brief chapter. There are only 8 verses in it, but it is still very interesting and very important. Let me take time to read to you these 8 verses, Revelation chapter 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having 7 plagues, which are the last, for in them is finished the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that come off victorious from the beast and from his image, and from the number of his name, standing by the sea of glass, having harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are thy ways, thou King of the ages. Who shall not fear, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all the nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy righteous acts have been made manifest. And after these things I saw, and the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. There came out from the temple the 7 angels that had the 7 plagues, arrayed with precious stone, pure and bright, girt about their breasts with golden girdles. One of the 4 living creatures gave unto the 7 angels 7 golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who liveth for ever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. None was able to enter into the temple till the 7 plagues of the 7 angels should be finished. Sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of that brief chapter. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, very reverently we bow our hearts in thy holy presence. We approach thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it humbles us as we think of these solemn truths that have been revealed in thy word. Yet we confess before thee that it seems that men have closed their eyes and they're closing their ears to the message of thy word. Like thy servant of old, we feel like saying, Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? O God, in mercy look down now upon every listener, every ear that's listening to this broadcast. Grant, O God, thy blessing to rest upon them, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, if you were to divide this chapter into 2 sections, you would take the first part would be verse 1 through verse 4. There you could write over these verses the prelude to the vile judgments. And then verses 5 through 8 you could write the preparation for the vile judgments. I want to remind my listeners again that way back in one of our early studies, when we were talking about the book that was sealed with 7 seals, we made this very plain, that we look at the book of the Revelation as a book that had to be unveiled, a book of 7 seals. Every time a seal was opened, it revealed a new form of judgment. But when we came to the 7th seal, then the whole book was unclasped, so to speak, unsealed, and the whole manuscript was open. So that the opening of the 7th seal brings you to the very end. However, it was under the 7th seal that we're introduced to the seven trumpets. And then at the blowing of the seventh trumpet, there will be introduced the pouring out of the seven vials of God's wrath. Now, when we come to chapters 15 and 16 of this book, we are brought, as it were, to the consummation. The ordered events leading to the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ in power and glory. You see, God brings everything to a conclusion. And it would seem that we have reached that consummation when we come to chapters 15 and 16. However, many details will be added in afterwards to explain again certain matters. There must be these explanatory passages. Now here then we have first of all the prelude to the vile judgments seen in the first four verses. Now notice what we have in these verses. In verse 1 there is a sign, and I saw another sign in heaven. Then in verse 2 there is the sea of glass. And then we have the singers. Also in verse 2, verse 3, we learn something about the song, and going from verses 3 into verse 4, we have the subject of the song. All these things come in the first four verses that we labeled, as it were, the prelude to the vile judgment. If you have been following through these studies, you will recall that in chapter 12, there were two signs. One was the woman representing Israel. The other was the great red dragon, who is Satan. But now here is another sign, which is described as great and marvelous, because great wrath is about to be poured out upon God's enemies. Now remember, John here in writing this says, and I saw another sign in heaven, so it was in heaven he saw the sign. What he saw was something that he says was great, something that was marvelous. Then he tells us what it was he saw. He saw seven angels, each angel having a plague, for seven angels having seven plagues, which are the last, for in them is finished the wrath of God. Now then, here is the prelude then to what we call the vile judgments. You know, it's very interesting to notice again that it's angels that God will use in the pouring out of these vials. But it also mentions here that these will be the last. If you go back over the history of the Bible, you will learn this, that not only is God a God of love, and a God of righteousness, and a God of grace, He is also a God of wrath. There is the fact of wrath. Away back in the book of the old philosopher in the Old Testament, the book of Job, we read this, because there is wrath, beware. You see, it states the fact that there is wrath. When John the Baptist was speaking on earth, he was the greatest of the prophets according to the verdict of the Lord. And John the Baptist one day said to some people who were coming around him and listening to him, he said, who has warned you to flee from the coming wrath? And so John believed there was wrath that was coming. Now John the Apostle here speaks of the finality of God's wrath. If you want an illustration of these things, you can go back to the Old Testament and read the book of Exodus. when God was about to deliver his people from the land of Egypt, why the king of Egypt scorned the very idea. He said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" Remember, the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh of that day, thought that he was the Lord. There was none greater than himself, so he thought. "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" Well, the Egyptians of that day had many idols. They worshipped their own gods. But every plague that God brought upon that nation was directed at one of their idols. And these people had to suffer from the outpouring of the wrath of God. The final one, of course, was the night in which the firstborn were slain. But while God came in judgment on those who were persecuting his people, remember this, God delivered his own, but the wrath of God came upon the ungodly. So this sign here, you've got to connect it with these signs in chapter 12, and you'll see what they represent. But now, when you come to verse 2, we're going to look, as it were, at a sea of glass. He says, "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass." Now, if he was looking at this glassy sea, it was mingled with fire. Now, this represents a state of firm and settled purity. Now, as these people no longer require the cleansing process, but are perfected in God's presence, and since it is mingled with fire, we are reminded that judgment is involved. And so, therefore, we have the picture here of John looking, and he's seeing a glassy sea, with these people who are called the singers. These were people who were victorious. They came through the great tribulation. They wouldn't bow down to the beast. They wouldn't bow down to his image. They wouldn't accept the number of his name. And they're standing by that glassy sea, and they have harps. Harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses. Now, I mentioned in a previous study that when the children of Israel were delivered from the land of Egypt, that's the first time you're introduced to singing, and they sang the song of Moses. Oh, we have singers in chapter 14, here with the singers again in chapter 15. And they're singing here the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Now, the song of Moses was directed to the Lord and was concerning the Lord. Now, the song of the Lamb will be according to the work of redemption, and according to the Lord in exaltation. You see, when you think of the Lamb, I have reminded you that the Lamb of God was the one that would take away the sin of the world. So therefore, he had to accomplish the great work of redemption. When you go back again to the book of Exodus, on that night of deliverance, the children of Israel had to take a lamb. That lamb had to be slain. The blood of the lamb had to be sprinkled on the doorposts. And yet the children of Israel inside were feasting on the roast lamb. And it was God who said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." When we come to the New Testament, we find the full meaning of that. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's perfectly true that Christ died on Calvary's cross to effect the great work of redemption, so we can sing the song of the Lamb. Yes, but we can also sing concerning his exaltation, because we've already learned that the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion. God has exalted him, given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so here we find this group of singers, these victorious people, and they're singing the song. They're singing the song of Moses. that which was directed to the Lord and was concerning all that the Lord had done, under singing the song of the Lamb, praising him for redemption and because of his exaltation. So therefore we have the subject of the song here. Notice what they're saying. Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are thy ways, thou King of the ages. Who shall not fear, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all the nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy righteous acts have been made manifest. You see, here are the works of God, that's the subject of the song, and the ways of God, and the worship of God. Now, if they're going to sing about the works of God, they're saying, great and marvelous are thy works. Isn't it a strange thing how people will not take time to consider the works of God? Some folk would like us to believe that this old world in which we live just happened to come into existence. Might I ask you, my friend, if this old world just happened to come into existence, why is it that some of these other planets don't come into the same kind of condition of things as this earth? Man has never yet found out another planet where we could go and live. You see, when they got to the moon, if they had found the moon just as nice a place as this earth, we might have had some kind of scheme on just now for people to emigrate to the moon. But they discovered when they got to the moon that men couldn't live there. And then again, if they're going to explore some of these other planets, they've never yet found out another place like this earth. And the reason is this. This world was prepared for man as a habitation. And so God, in his marvelous works, prepared this earth as a habitation for man. If God should have any other creatures living on any other planets, we have never found it out yet, have we? So therefore, they're speaking of the wonderful works of God in his marvelous creation, the heavens above us and the earth on which we live, how God keeps it in orbit round the sun, how it moves on its own axis every day. Oh, how marvelous and great are the works of God. But what about his work in redemption? His work of redemption is just as great as his work in creation. What about the ways of God? Righteous and true are thy ways. Many of the ways of God are past finding out. Some of the ways of God we do not profess even to be able to measure. You cannot find out the breadth or length or height or depth of the love of God. God's ways are past finding out, but they are righteous and true. And so therefore they're singing about the ways of God. Then it brings us to the point of the worship of God, that all the nations shall come and worship before thee. Now, they're not doing that today. Some people today are worshipping men. Some people today are worshipping angels. Some people today are worshipping graven images. They'll worship anything and everything but the true God. But they're singing here concerning the fact that the day will come when all the nations shall come and shall worship, they'll bow down before the mighty God of heaven, the Creator and the Upholder of all things. For the day will come when God's righteous acts will be made manifest. Now that has to do with the prelude to the vile judgments. Now verses 5 through 8 deal with the preparation for the vile judgments, nearing the time when God shall pour forth the seven vials or seven bowls of wrath. He says, and after these things I saw. What did he see now in this vision? Here again is the scene in heaven. It's an open sanctuary, but not for man to approach unto God, but rather for God to come out in wrath upon his enemies. Then, in verse 6, there's the seven angels with seven plagues. Now, these angels are God's ministers in the execution of judgment. And the holiness of God demands it, while the wickedness of man deserves it. Then in verse 7, you have the seven golden bowls or vials. Way back in the book of Job, we learn of the fact of God's wrath. I remind you of that again. John the Baptist, the great prophet, spoke about fleeing from God's wrath. Now John the Apostle makes known the finality of God's wrath. Then in verse 8, he sees the smoke-filled temple. The smoke-filled house intimated that none need seek God in grace. For God is hidden in the smoke from the fire of judgment. No one can then approach God in intercession, because the day of his wrath has come. Do you remember when we were dealing with chapter 6, at the opening of the sixth seal, when the judgment fell, men were crying for the rocks, for the mountains to fall on them, asking to be hidden from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. For surely the great day of his wrath had come, but it hadn't. But here, when we come to this particular scripture, we realize what will be involved in the day when God's wrath will come. Now, he says, "And I heard a great voice." A voice implies an intelligent apprehension of the subject in question. He heard a great voice. And that voice was coming out from the temple or the sanctuary. This judgment proceeds from God's holiness. For that sanctuary was holy. When Moses built the tabernacle in the wilderness, it was made up of an outer court. And then there was the holy place. And the very inner sanctuary was called the Holy of Holies. And here John heard a great voice coming out of that inner sanctuary, saying to the seven angels, "Go ye, pour out the seven bowls of the wrath of God into the earth." And so therefore, there will be the pouring out of this wrath. Now, if we notice here then, before he pours these out, there's the preparation for this. There was the, first of all, the prelude. Now, there is the preparation for it. But it's very interesting to notice this. "And one of the four living creatures gave unto the seven angels these seven golden bowls full of wrath." They didn't have them in their own power. They were given to them. Angels are only servants of God. And these servants of God, these angels, receive those bowls full of the wrath of God. And here is the God who liveth forever and ever, the eternal God. And the eternal God is now going to act in judgment. But when you read verse 8, I want to draw your attention to that again, that the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. None was able to enter into the temple. Isn't it a remarkable thing that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary, that the veil of the temple was rent in the midst, from the top to the bottom throughout, indicating that a new and a living way was consecrated for us, whereby men could approach into the very presence of a holy God and make known their requests to him. Plain words, there was a way opened up. The Lord Jesus Christ could say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But when you come here to Revelation chapter 15, that way is barred again. There's a smoke coming out. And you know, the smoke comes out from fire. And where there's fire, there's judgment. And here the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. None was able to enter into the sanctuary. It's too late for men to approach God now to receive his grace and his mercy. God's grace and God's mercy has been spurned. And at this point, God is ready to act in judgment. And so the seven plagues of the seven angels are going to be poured out, and these will have to be finished. My friend, God will yet deal with this world, and He'll deal with individuals who despise the Lord Jesus Christ, and who said it not, the great work of redemption. If you refuse God's offer of mercy, there's nothing else for it but the receiving of His judgment.